Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, June the 3rd, 2026. First Wednesday in the month of June. Midweek, 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Radio Talk Time. About 57 degrees here this morning. Not too bad. Another bit of a chilly morning for the beginning of June, but we will soldier on here this morning on WGH Talk Radio. Now, there are a few things I want to mention today that I think are of interest here. I have learned. Now, see, I'm late on these things, but better late than never, as they say. That this coming Friday is National Donut Day. Now, we have a lot of these symbolic days: National This Day, National That Day. But around here, National Donut Day has meant something, and I'm not really sure why this strikes a chord with a lot of people in the country, but National Donut Day does, to the point to where I know it's the first Friday in June is National Donut Day. Now, many years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, we did a thing where we had, I believe it was Mary Ellen came in, and Mary Ellen Withrow, and she came in on a Friday, and we judged donuts from all different kinds of places. We did Kroger donuts. We did, who else did we do? We did Dunkin'. We did Tim Hortons. I believe we did Andrews. And we tried to judge who had the best donuts. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember who the winner of that contest was. But it was a lot of fun. Donuts are just fun. People like donuts. It's just something fun to do. Then last year, our friend Terry Klein went down to Columbus, and he got the famous Buckeye Donuts, and he brought those back here, and Mary Ellen came in again, and I believe Christian Pearson also came in. It was a Friday night. It was National Donut Day, and I think we also did have some Kroger Donuts, but I'm not sure if they got in this contest, but we took several of the Buckeye Donuts, and we each judged the different types of donuts and decided which donut was the best. And again, I don't remember which donut was the best, but I remember it was a lot of fun. And also last year, this is how crazy Donut Day got last year. What would you wash down a donut with? Well, here at WGH Talk Radio, we wash down our Buckeye Donuts with Asti, which is a very, very good, would you call it a wine? I guess maybe you would call it a wine. I don't, is it a wine? Is it a champagne? I don't know. But it was apparently Mary Ellen's favorite drink of choice. So we had a lot of fun last year with Donut Day. Even though we did it at night on Friday, donuts are pretty much a breakfast food, I would think, for the most part. In any event, this Friday is National Donut Day, and everybody's excited. And a lot of donut places are giving away free deals and free donuts on Friday. So who knows what's going to happen? Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, it's a sparkling wine.
Is that what? Okay, so it would be considered a wine.
Yeah, it says on the label a sparkling wine because champagne has a complete process unto itself.
Well, I just remember last year that you had brought that in with the donuts, and Mary Ellen said, "Well, that's my favorite," and I thought, "Well, what could be better?"
Well, Charlie Evers loved that too.
There you go.
When we were at, the last time I saw him, Angela Buckley brought her Alphorn, and we went out to his house, and she played the Alphorn, and friends and family were there, And we had a bottle of Osti and little shot cups, and we all shared a toast with Charlie.
Well, that must be a popular thing. For all those people to like it and be their favorite, it must have a popularity.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, it doesn't overwhelm you with, like, what a champagne might or an alcohol. It's pretty mild.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. I don't remember having it prior to last Donut Day, but I thought it was good.
Scott, you got to remember, you tipped too many of them, so you wouldn't know if it was Wednesday or Friday.
Well, I'll tell you, if you remember right, somebody did tip quite a few that night, but it wasn't me. Somebody was knocking them back.
I don't recall who that was.
Somebody, I don't want to say it on the air, but somebody was having a good time that night, so much so that I was worried about them driving home. I don't know if I should say that or not. They made it home fine. It was no issue.
Well, at least it wasn't the moonshine, the maple, whatever it was, moonshine that we had for New Year's, I think.
I think it was Christmas, wasn't it? Maybe it was New Year's.
Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what blends together.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is about Donut Day, but last year I remember that somebody actually, when I told somebody we were doing Donut Day, somebody went in at Kroger and bought us, I forget, a couple dozen donuts. People just
you had more than, I thought you had like four boxes of donuts.
It might have been. They bought a lot of donuts. I don't know what it is about Donut Day that people like. I think donuts are kind of fun for people. And
it's the sugar rush, along with the caffeine in your coffee.
Well, it is, but I think people like the shape of donuts. I think everybody's got their favorite donut place, from Dunkin' to Tim Hortons to Andrews to store-bought donuts. People just have an affinity for donuts.
But I think you would agree that, by far, Buckeye Donuts are the gourmet donut out there, as far as we know.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why it was fun last year doing that with the Buckeye Donuts, because I think it's something you can't get in Marion. They are very, very delicious. And I can't remember which donut won last year. It might have been the plain glazed, because I remember it was the...
I think Mary Ellen was partial to just the plain glaze, I think.
Well, no,
She did like that maple bacon.
Yes, yes. I think Mary Ellen, her highest vote was actually for the maple bacon. But I think because Christian and Matt and myself were here, I think we all tended toward the regular glazed. And I think that's how that ended up winning. But it's a fun thing to do. We did it last year, and we had done it a few years earlier. So we'll have to do something on Friday, because I think it's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it is Friday, this Friday?
This is it, yeah.
Donut
first
Day?
First Friday in June.
Donut Day. First Friday in June.
Yeah.
Yeah, it presents interesting possibilities.
Well, if you have any ideas, let me know, because I think our only issue last year was doing it in the evening. I think donuts are probably more of a morning food, but we're on Friday morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's not like we probably couldn't get something together for Friday morning.
Yep. Well, you have 2 days or 1 day to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll have some good fun on Friday.
Oh, to a better tomorrow.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. All right, getting a message here from one of our listeners this morning, Mary out there who's listening. Osti Spumante simply Osti, is a sweet, aromatic Italian sparkling wine made from Moscato Bianco grapes in the Piedmont region. Unlike Champagne, which is dry and from France, Asti is naturally low in alcohol, typically 7% ABV, making it a fruity, easy-drinking dessert wine. Well, there you go. Then we had it at the right time with the donuts, because we certainly used it for a dessert. But Friday's National Donut Day, and hopefully Friday morning we'll have something fun going on in regard to donuts. Now, last year we had a lot of the donuts left over, because as Terry said there, we had like four dozen donuts that somebody had bought for us at Kroger. So, and then we had the donuts that Terry got from Buckeye Donut. So we had a lot of donuts last year, and that was good. And, you know, in a couple days, I'm sure we can figure something out here. It's just donuts for Friday morning. Not the most difficult thing in the world. But we'll have some fun with that on Friday morning. National Donut Day coming up. Does anybody have a favorite type of donut? Now, again, I think that's part of what makes this fun. And locally, look at all the donut places we have just locally. We have the hometown favorite, which of course I think is Andrew's. We have Tim Hortons. We have Duncan. Kroger and Meyer have their own bakeries inside that produce fresh donuts. I don't know if Walmart does or not. They might. And then you have all the box donuts. You can get Krispy Kreme in Marion in the grocery stores. You know, it'll cost you an arm and a leg. But you can get Krispy Kreme. We have those. What are the brown donuts? I think they have cinnamon on them, although it doesn't taste like cinnamon. But are they called pinwheels? The donuts? They're kind of, I don't even know. They come in the yellow bag, I guess is the best way to put it. The yellow bagged donuts. Does anybody know what those donuts are called? The ones that come in the yellow bag? I think they just say donuts on them. If anybody knows what those are, let me know. 740-383-9944. But National Donut Day coming up on Friday. Not really a health day, to say the least, but it is Donut Day. Okay, well, what else is on the agenda here this morning? Well, you know, I'll tell you something. There's an interesting story going on right now that's got a Marion tie. Now, I don't think it's getting a whole lot of attention, but I think it's an interesting story. Do you remember earlier in the year when the whole thing happened down at Ohio State, when the cameraman who was filming Gordon Gee got assaulted by the professor? And the person who filmed the assault was I don't even know what you call them now. Are they a political blogger, I guess is what they're referred to, named The Rooster. Now, The Rooster, I believe, is from Marion, Ohio. I don't think he lives here anymore, but he is from Marion, Ohio, and, I know his parents live here, I believe. So there is a tie here. But at the time, we had the big discussion, what is journalism, and so on and so forth. And basically, what this blogger does, The Rooster, is essentially, he does not set up interviews with people or anything of that nature. He just walks up on people and sort of starts yelling questions at them or accusing them of things. And a lot of times the people don't answer. And that makes for an interesting video, I guess. And he does have a lot of followers, this Rooster. Well, I saw this story yesterday, and I guess I'll just read it as it is right now. A political blogger in Columbus was arrested on Monday, according to online jail records. DJ Burns, known online as The Rooster, was booked into the Franklin County Jail on a hold for a misdemeanor charge out of Lake County, northeast of Cleveland. Burns allegedly sent an explicit photo and two harassing text messages to a person with the initials JC on May the 6th, according to a warrant dated May 28th from the Kirtland Police Department. The case against Burns was filed in municipal court. As of Tuesday afternoon, the case was not published in online court records. On Tuesday afternoon, the Rooster account on Facebook posted, "The work continues," with a photo of Burns' mugshot. "I can't talk about it, but I promise you will laugh when you see," the Rooster wrote on Blue Sky. A source familiar with the arrest told NBC4 that the message was sent to Senator Jerry Serino and that the photo was of Shrek's male parts. A spokesperson for Ohio Senate Republicans said due to the ongoing investigation, there would be no comment. Burns is set to appear in a Lake County jail later this week. "I believe the facts presented in court will show that I'm innocent of the misdemeanor charge of telecommunications harassment," Burns said in a statement. "On the advice of my legal counsel, Bill Livingston, I will not be commenting on the specifics of the allegations." Burns said he was taken into custody at the statehouse while attending a hearing about data centers and spent 23 hours in the Franklin County Jail. "The work of shining a light on the wretched and decaying underbelly of Ohio politics is too important to be sidetracked by this attempted interference," Burns wrote. So that's what's going on with the Rooster. I guess he spent 23 hours in the Franklin County Jail. And I think this goes back to the question and maybe the conversation we were having back in February when the whole incident happened with the Rooster and some other people down in Columbus. What is journalism and how far does it go? And I said at the time, people can do whatever they want. I mean, obviously, this is America. You have the First Amendment. You can do what you want. But there are differences between bloggers, journalists, things of that nature. And I think the cracks are getting bigger and bigger here. Because if you remember, that same week that the incident had happened with the Rooster, in which he had caught Gordon Gee coming out of the restroom and questioned him, which led to a lot of this kerfluffle back in February, I was able to get an interview with Gordon Gee by just going to him, asking for the interview. He invited me down, and we went through all the things that the Rooster wanted to talk about, including Jeffrey Epstein, the assault on the cameraman by the teacher, the OSU sex scandal, sexual abuse scandal. We went through it all. And that was just by asking for an interview with Gordon Gee. Well, the new journalism blogging, political bloggers, it's more to me, and I think this is the overwhelming problem, it's not really about getting information. It's more about trying to make the person you're going after look foolish. And clearly, here's the problem with that. You constantly have to keep upping your game because the level of foolishness that you're making them look has to constantly get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know what's going on with this case. I'm not an expert in this case. But the claim is that pictures were sent. And obviously, it was a strong enough case to land Mr. Burns in jail for 23 hours. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, yes.
I don't think the Rooster, I think he wants to be the cock of the walk. And he ain't going to get that way because he's a turkey, you know?
Well, this
is... You don't ambush people. It's like, how would he like to be woken up in the middle of the night, a light on him and a camera, and ask him a question? you know?
Well, that's the thing that I don't like, because I think I said back in February at the time, because we were tangentially involved in this, because the same week he caught Gordon Gee coming out of the bathroom unexpectedly, which led to the big kerfluffle, you know, I had an in-person interview sit-down with Gordon Gee, which he agreed to and answered all the questions. And I think that's the problem here, is that these political bloggers are not really about information. They're really about a spectacle.
And about posting and getting clicks and monetizing what it is with shock value.
Right, and that's just what I was saying, is that when you operate that way, you constantly have to keep upping your game. And obviously, he upped his game to a point that ended him up in jail for 23 hours with some charges.
I can say this about Gordon Gee. A friend of mine was getting married. He had been an usher at football games for years and years. I called up. He was receptive to doing a video well wishes for the wedding at the reception. Set up a time, went in, and he delivered right to the camera, thanked him, went home. When I got home, he sent me an email, thank you.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Accommodating. All you have to do is call and make arrangements. Most people are tickled to death to talk to people. But, you know, the ambushing thing, that's Bush League.
You know, it's interesting, though, because I think in your... I think... President Emeritus Gee, I think he does like to do those things. I mean, he has a record of being accommodatable when it comes to that. But I think
he understands one important thing. A lot of people, public officials, don't understand, and that's public relations.
Well, yes, but I think if you look at President Emeritus Gee's record, being interviewed by a reporter is a different thing, especially if that's how it's presented, than giving a well wish for a wedding or a birthday or something of that nature, which I think he is always glad to do. But, you know, when a reporter comes in, for the most part, that they're going to ask you questions that you may not want to talk about. And it's always been the case. The first time I was down there, I asked him about Wexner. I asked him about the OSU sexual abuse scandal. I asked him about the fight with the professor and the cameraman, which had just happened that week. And he answered every question and invited me back in April, 2 months later. And we did another interview, and again, which I asked him about Wexner, which I asked him about the President Carter being fired or resigning, however you wanted, and his inappropriate relationship. And, you know, things that Gee doesn't necessarily want to talk about.
Step back. You say President Carter has resigned?
Oh, yeah, a while back. Back in February, March, somewhere in there.
What were the circumstances of that? I must have been asleep.
Well, apparently he had an inappropriate relationship with a podcaster, and he ended up sending some money her way to fund her project, and come to find out that he had had a relationship with her.
Gee whiz. I tell you, it's embarrassing to find out these people we think are pillars of the community are human after all.
Well, but I guess my point with this is Gordon Gee has always said very nice things about me back to his days at the Marion campus, visiting from main campus. He's always been good to me when it's come to interviews, but he has never said, don't talk about this. He has never sent me a message after and said, I didn't appreciate you asking me that. He has always stayed in contact with me. If I wanted to ask him something, he was always open to listening. So I don't understand, but Gordon Gee, I guess, is not the point of this. It's a lot of other people. I don't understand why you need to ambush somebody if they're not willing to do an interview with you. I mean, people will probably look at it. People will probably watch it because it's I guess, entertaining to see somebody unprepared and hear you come from the side with a camera yelling claims at them. But look at what has happened now. You know, I don't know where this case is going to end up, but obviously the authorities felt there was enough of a case to arrest this blogger and put him in jail for 23 hours. And he's still defiant in this. I mean,
you look at all the miscreants of the world. They are always defiant. They only have one mindset, is to make things go the way they want it to go, regardless of collateral damage, you know?
Well, I mean, look at the charge here. It's that he, the rooster, sent an explicit photo in two harassing text messages. Now, it's rumored by NBC4 that was to Senator Jerry Serino, and apparently the photo was of Shrek's male parts. I don't know what the threatening text messages were, but, you know...
Do you know if it was green?
I don't know. I don't know. I just, you know, I don't understand why... I don't know if that's a journalist. I don't know if that's a...
I think there's a word for it. He's just an agitator.
Yeah, but, you know, people follow him. People like him.
Well, you know, those are the same people that will stop by a wreck to see the chaos and mayhem of an unfortunate individual or individuals.
Well, that's true, but that's the society we live in now. See, it's much more important to make a spectacle out of something than actually report what's going on. See, facts...
With the internet and everything, shock value. Shock value, you know, it's hard to show something that people haven't already seen that's going on around the world because the internet, YouTube, etc., all the other little cutesy social media outlets broadcast that, and you know, the people get it, and it's like a drug. They want to get more. They get more value out of it. I don't know if it's a dopamine rush or whatever it is, but there's something that clicks in their head that, oh wow, and they want to get more, you know.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about that, and I understand blaming the internet because it does give everybody a platform, but you do have a choice when you do. There are many people on the internet. Well, most major organizations have an internet presence now, from the New York Times to every television station to every radio station, and they aren't regulated on the internet by any government. Now, over the air, they still are, but not on the internet. They could be as vulgar and as crazy as anybody else is, but they're not, because they adhere...
Well, it's their number one, it's their credibility. Again, public relations. I don't think anybody would take NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN seriously if they had the pornographic images and vulgarities of others that haven't been established and had a brand over a period of years, you know?
Well, that's it. And at this point, I feel that when you are doing something, which is more important to you? Is it more important to get more clicks and likes so you really have to dress it up in a certain way that a journalist would not dress it up? Or do you do it as you should do it? Here are the facts. Here's the story. Make of it what you want. want to make of it. And I don't think people do that. I think now it's more about entertainment. It's more about memes. It's more about not getting a not even trying to get a statement from the person on what happened. People just post what they want. They think it will get views and likes. People, but you know what? People follow it. So, you know, they're doing something right.
Well, I'm going to back out of here so somebody else can call in, but here's a little tip. Get a hold of Aaron Rollins and talk with him. Maybe you can get him on your show. Have him talk about a project he's been trying to get past. Gus Comstock didn't do anything about it. He sat around on his butt doing nothing. And the trials and tribulations of trying to get something that would ease the congestion when all of the grain trucks are coming in to the ethanol plant. You know, I could tell you stuff, but I think it would be better coming from him.
Yeah, well, maybe next Monday.
And there's one county commissioner that was told something quite contrary to what Aaron Rollins would like to do. So that individual, whose name is, I think it's Brad Irons, the county engineer, told one of the county commissioners one thing contrary to what Rollins was wanting. And it's just something that goes to show Marion elected officials need to realize public relations, and right now they're really doing a piss poor job, because you're not going to get economic development when you have people who boost the local economy and you have a publicly elected official that just doesn't give a damn, you know?
Well, hopefully.
So that would be make for an interesting conversation to have with him.
Well, maybe when I see him next Monday, I'll ask him about that.
Yep, please do.
All right.
Feel better tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd enjoy hearing your opinions on anything of this nature or anything else. 46 coming up on 47 minutes past the hour. But I felt this was an interesting story because DJ Burns does have a tie here to Marion, and this whole bit with journalism and exhibitionism, I think, is an interesting conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Just when you think your show can't get any lower, you start talking about Shrek's junk.
Well, you know, wasn't my show. Goodness gracious, it was this guy's show.
Okay, well, I just had to give you a hard time because, I mean, how often do you get to talk about an animated character's parts?
Well, that's true. I
cleaned that up because I was going to say something else, but
yeah.
I cleaned that up.
I don't know what Shrek is. Shrek a male?
Yes.
Okay.
I assume. I guess that's us assuming his gender during Pride Month, but based on the fact that he married Princess Fiona and they had children, I think it's safe to assume that he's a male character. And he was played by Mike Myers, so we'll just assume that he was a male.
Okay.
But you should not be sending members of the government text messages of animated genitalia. You know, I still don't think there's anything wrong with the ambush. And I was actually outside watering flowers while I was listening to you. I'm walking around, and I go back to when Colleen Marshall was in the fray with Jim Jordan, and she was sort of, you know, I mean, she wasn't ambushing because she was in the middle of a press junket or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, she was jamming a microphone in his face and asking him questions that he didn't want to answer. So I think there is and when you do that and then, you know, you're asking them the tough questions and they decline to answer and they just continue to push through the crowd and act like you're not alive, I think that their refusal to answer says a lot. It speaks novels. Yeah. Their silence is loud.
But I think here's the difference, and I may be wrong on this, but somebody will correct me, I'm sure, if I am. I've seen that video of Colleen Marshall with the alleged ambush on Jim Jordan. Now, here's the difference, in my opinion. Number one, Colleen Marshall was at covering an event that Jim Jordan happened to be at.
Yes, now, she didn't wait for him to come out of the bathroom.
No, well, no, and she knows where she could find him if she needed to. He's got offices. You know, she could wait in the parking lot. She didn't do that. And so, if somebody's at an event and they're stopping by the press, which is what he was doing, I mean, it's not like they were tracking... It's not like she personally was tracking him down. There were a gaggle of press people there.
Right.
And also...
But, I mean, that's the way a lot of journalism happens. You watch these senators and these congressmen get followed through the halls of Congress with just a dozen people behind them chasing them with microphones.
Right, but they're not...
You know, they're not scheduled. They know where to find them. They know where their offices are. And these people just flat out refuse to give interviews.
Right.
And I know you're saying that Guy was very polite and gave you an interview. Maybe he doesn't return that, you know, to someone that he knows isn't going to be as friendly to him.
Well, no, but also, I think it's what it becomes. Because here's the problem. I think, I believe in my heart here of journalism, that Colleen Marshall was really trying to get answers to those questions.
I agree.
Okay. And
yes.
I don't believe that she showed that clip, and I don't even know if that clip was shown on the news. Maybe it was. I don't think she showed that clip to try to make Jim Jordan look like a fool. And I don't think she showed that clip for any tabloid reason. To say, oh, look, he didn't answer a question I asked him. You know, what a jerk. I don't think that was the purpose. I think with some of these people, they know that they're not going to give them an interview. And they know, even when they run them down in the hallway, that they're not going to talk to them.
Right.
So when you do that, you are simply doing that for the spectacle, because that's what you're putting up on your blog. And if you've got more of that on your blog than you do of interviews, I'm not saying this occasionally is not going to happen. If I were down at City Hall and there were a gigantic story, and the media, if Abby from the Star and I were down there and we're yelling questions at a council member, I don't think that that's an awful thing. But I think us going and standing outside waiting for them in the parking lot with a camera just to get the reaction of them not answering and posting that to get likes and clicks.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But what do we get from it? That they won't answer
their
questions?
Their refusal to answer.
Right, that's all we get. But couldn't you say that anyway?
You could, but when they've got their hand up in front of their face and the flashes, you know, think 1950s type scandalous stuff, that makes for... I'm all about putting the pressure on these people. If they don't want to answer, okay, show up, and the non-answer is the answer. The fact that you won't answer, that's the answer, and that's the story. And if you don't want that to be the story, then give an answer and... make the story about something other than the fact that you refuse to be accountable to the public.
Right.
Now, I don't agree with everything that the Rooster does. I believe there's some sensationalism to him, but he has done some good journalistic work as well. I don't think that these recent things, and I can't help but believe that because this, you should not be sending elected officials text messages of anything.
Well, but here's another thing that I mean,
all of the city has, I have access to all of their phone numbers. I've not called them. I've not sent them any messages or anything like that. You shouldn't be doing that sort of stuff. But I could also see how this got just blown way out of proportion because you've got a local representative calling up the state highway patrol. And, you know, I feel afraid. I feel threatened. I feel knowing all the keywords, all the buzzwords that it takes to get this man charged. So it'll be interesting to see what he ends up actually pleading to.
Well, but here's the thing. There had to be some kind of substantial information beyond buzzwords and...
No, because I was... Okay,
I
was
charged... I guess we all could be thrown in jail for 23 hours.
I was charged with menacing by stalking by a crazy family member called the sheriff enough eight times, and complained about junk mail that was coming to their home and spam text messages, and said that I had signed them up for this junk mail and these spam text messages. And the sheriff called me and told me they had received so many phone calls about this that they were going to pass it on to the law director to let them take a look at it, because it would be basically, there were so many calls that they needed to make sure that there wasn't anything to the fact that I was actually stalking and harassing this person with junk mail and text messages.
And
I had to go through a legal process of 4 months, get an attorney, and get that case dropped.
Right,
because how the hell can you prove somebody signed you up for junk mail?
What?
But the fucking Marion County Sheriff's Department charged me with it.
Right, and I'm not saying that...
And Mark Russell's office let it go on for 4 months.
Right, and I'm not saying investigations aren't a thing, but I'm saying this man was put in jail. For 23
hours. I could have been put in jail for 6 months.
Well, I think if you put somebody in jail for 23 hours and they have to get out on
that's
bond...
I don't think the bond was very much. And you can get an arrest warrant. If you're a state senator or a state representative, you don't think it's hard to get a county prosecutor or a county judge to issue an arrest warrant?
I don't know. I mean, this went through a lot of different channels.
That'd be a real simple favor to call in. But here's where the guy messed up. If you're going to send somebody a text message and tell them, I hate you and I hope you die from it, then you don't follow it up with anything else. Because once you get that message in, the second message becomes harassment. So he shouldn't have sent the second message.
But here's the point. This is not... I guess people can do this. I guess, shows over the years like to see people fall down and people like to get knocked out, and we take videos of that and blah, 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 blah. And God knows there's all these pornographic websites you can go to now, I guess, and pay money. What are they? I mean, I don't understand... half of these things. People put it up.
I saw a thing on the internet the other day that said people used to be mad when their nudes got leaked, and now it costs $5.99 a month, or they charge $5.99 a month to do it.
Right, but here's the problem. The problem with this is, okay, I have seen a couple things that this guy has done. He's got a very Democratic bend, without question.
He's a liberal.
Yes, he's absolutely going after the Republican politicians.
Yes.
He's not going after the Democratic politicians with that kind of fervor, if at all. And number two is...
He didn't always used to be like that. I think he has gotten more aggressive and more hardened these past few years.
Okay, and I think the first time he did it, people wanted to see that. People like that. And I think you like to see people paying attention to your stuff in that way. But the problem is that you don't get any information. What information, except from they won't answer? If I went on the camera and said, you know what, I put an interview request. Well, I've done this before. I put an interview request in with the mayor. The mayor doesn't answer. The mayor won't do an interview. Now, that's not something that's going to get me overnight in jail. Nobody's going to do that because
you didn't text the mayor and send him inappropriate things.
No, but what I'm saying is...
Let's say if you did send, and I was thinking this, if that man is truly threatened by a cartoon caricature of male genitalia, then the only thing I can think of is that he believes that Shrek is more endowed than he is, and that's why he feels harassed by it.
But look at what we're talking about here.
I know, characters.
Right.
Stuff.
But what function does that have from somebody who apparently is he trying to get a word with this guy?
He shouldn't have done it. He should not have done that. That was foolish on his part. That is not journalism. That crosses the line. These people's telephone numbers are typically public. That doesn't mean that we should harass them. I wouldn't recommend calling or texting them at all. I mean, you know, if you feel like you need to call somebody and complain about a pothole, do it. I'd suggest an email so there's a record of it.
I guess here's my point. When I come in and say the mayor will not do an interview, okay, well, that's what it is. But... I guess
follow it up with text messages to them like that.
No, and I guess I could go stand outside City Hall and get a video of the mayor walking past.
That might eventually wear him down. I believe that to be an effective tactic.
Okay,
at some point, some people.
If that's how we've got to coerce people into interviews, then we have got a real problem.
I'm telling you what, shame is a real motivator in this town right now. I can't tell you how many things I've accomplished strictly through shaming them.
Well, you know, the thing of it is I don't think that that works because
I've seen it work, though.
Well,
I've gotten graffiti covered. I've gotten yards. They have money, I've gotten yards cleaned up. I've gotten junk cars hauled away. I've gotten yards mowed back when we had money for that. I'm just trying to think of the other things. I finally got the path going up Leader Street, you know, just out of shame. So, yeah, I mean, sadly, that's the only way we can get things done.
Right, but here's the problem. And I did talk to Colleen Marshall about this, about the surviving Ohio State story. Once you insert yourself in a story like that as the journalist, you're part of the story.
Yes.
Okay, well, once you do that, your objectivity is going to be seen as off. And if I go down there and I throw a microphone in the mayor's face and then I post that video of him walking by me and not answering, now the story is the mayor, it's not that the mayor doesn't take questions from media, it's the mayor ignored me. And that is the story.
But that is the story because we do have examples of that where you specifically have been passed over and information has not been given to you.
Right.
It's been given to the Marion
Star. Right. But
so the story there is that one news outlet was favored over you. That is a story.
Right. That is a story. But it's not me using that to make a spectacle. I can come on here, and I've said it. I've said the mayor will not come on the show. I've invited him on. He will not come on. The door is always open. But that's not, you know, that's not salacious. That's not salacious.
It's break time, Spears. What cartoon character are you texting the mayor?
No. I'm just saying it's not salacious to do that. So then.
No.
But see, that's not going to get clicks. But me getting a video.
But if there was a crazy night at city council and you stood outside and I don't mean like by his car, but say you stood by the door and said, "Mr. Mayor, can I ask you a couple of questions?" I don't think there would be anything wrong with that. Like if he had totally dodged you and you caught him on his way out.
We do have to get a break. We'll talk more about this on the opposite side because I think this is an interesting question and this does have a Marion tie because I believe he was from here or his parents live here. So, you know, there is a tie here. So we'll come back and talk about this.
Break time.
Yep.
Tom. CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 7-